us more like you. Father, we give you all of the glory, all of the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Between the divorce, the cancer, your mom dying, and being laid off, I know it feels like you're going through a lot. Believe me, I have been there. Just remember, when God closes a door, he opens a window. And never forget, God never gives you more than you can handle.
God never said that. Oh, I've got another one if you want to take a shot. Yeah, the cum is a pair. Bring it.
We've all been there, haven't we? Good morning. Thank you again for being here. It's so good to have you. And we are beginning a brand new series today. God never said that. And many times we just wanting to do something good, we often say some things that just make absolutely no sense. And so today we're going to begin a series where we begin to look at some of those things and begin to try to help each other get through what it means for those things. We're going to deal with some very cultural beliefs that we have, and no matter, some of them, like, no matter what you do, you know, you're doesn't matter what you do, as long as you don't hurt anyone else, right? And we say that sometimes. And our actions, you know, they really do matter a lot. It does matter what we do, and we can certainly harm each other. And then sometimes we say this, there's this belief that it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you believe something, right? And man, that's one of the most dangerous things that we can believe. And so we're gonna dig into some of these over the next couple of weeks. And so if you've had some people in your life who like to be one of those advice-giving people, you might want to invite them. Don't tell them why. Just get them here, and we'll try to straighten them out. But we're going to look at one of the biggest beliefs, misbeliefs that we have, I think, in our culture, especially the church culture. We like to make people feel better by saying that God will never give you more than you can handle. And it's just not true. God never said that. And we're going to look at it from a scriptural belief how that really comes to place. Because here's something that people often say, and I've said it, and I've heard others say it, and sometimes it just kind of bothers me in a way. I don't like it, but it's true that you're either right now in the middle of a difficult season. You just came out of a difficult season, or you're about to walk into one. You're there. Listen, we're one of the three. You are, and I am. We're either in it, coming out of it, or about to walk into it. And so it happens to all of us. And it seems that no matter what happens, when our life begins to spiral down, whether it's a financial burden or a health crisis or a relationship crisis or whatever it may be, whenever our life begins to head that way, it seems like people just want to come and they want to do something to try to make it better. And that's a good thing. We should always want to do something to help somebody along when they are in a difficult season. But the worst thing that we can do is when they're there to bring them something that doesn't help, but it actually hurts them more by telling them something that's just not true. And so I want to help us be able to get down into some of those things. This lady said, whenever God closes a door, he opens a window. Well, I guess that's good news unless you're on the 12th floor, right? I mean, what does that really mean? It makes no sense. Because I don't fit very well through windows. I don't, if you kind of see me. So I want a door. I don't want a window. We say crazy stuff, and it's just, sometimes it just works that. God helps those who help themselves, right? Come on now, some of you know that you said that, right? You know, God never said that. He didn't say that. Right? I mean, it just doesn't work that way. And then there's that one just drives me nuts. Like we said, God won't give you more than you can handle. It's just because, can I just tell you that if that was true, if God said that he'd never give me more than I could handle, then I've been a failure a lot of times in my life because I've just had more than I could handle. And I'm sure if we're all honest in the room, we've all experienced it. And in fact, the truth is very much opposite. God will absolutely give you and I more than we can handle. And so we need to be able to understand where that comes from. I think a lot of times it comes from a passage where Paul is speaking to the church in Corinth. And in chapter 10, verse 13 of 1 Corinthians, it says, God is faithful, right? That's true. Absolutely. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out. See, I think we take that sometimes and say, oh, okay, well, he must not give me more than I can. He says, no, he'll give you more than you can handle. He just says he'll give you a way out. And guess who the way out is? It's him. And we miss that so much that we think that we can get that. And it says nothing about us being, not being able to endure it more. It says nothing about him not letting us have more than we can endure. It just says that when there is more, that he'll give us a way out from under it. When you just survey the entirety of the Bible, you see story after story where people had more than they could handle. I mean, the first place we always jump, right, is Job. We always look at Job and say, oh, look at listen, that's way more than any man could handle on his own. The reason God allowed Satan to do that to Job was that he knew Job wouldn't try to do it all on his own. That he would depend on God. That was the whole point of that whole time in Job's life. And so for you and I, we need to understand that there is more that can come our way than we can handle physically and emotionally and mentally on our own. It's just more that can happen that way. I think about the scriptures where we see these. Gideon says, I'm the weakest in my clan. I'm the least in my family. God, I don't know what it takes to do what you want me to do. Moses said, now I'm slow of speech. I'm not a good speaker. I'm not a good leader. These people are wearing me out. I can't do it all. I don't have what it takes. Moses, the one who freed them from slavery. And I mean, all he said, I can't do it all. Esther, she said, I'm very, very afraid. Very, very afraid. You've been a very, very afraid lately? Esther was right there with you. And I think about King David. I love reading the stories of King David's life and just looking at it, how it's so, my life and his life so much parallel so many times. And I just read that, those accounts of his life, and I'm thinking, man, I should have this figured out by now, because David figured it out for me, because it's right there. But he said this in Psalm, 38. So my guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden too heavy to bear. You ever felt like that? Too heavy to bear. In verse 8, I am exhausted and completely crushed. My groans come from an anguished heart. This week's been one of those weeks where, can I just tell you, I've groaned a lot more than I've spoken. I know I'm not the only one. There's just times where I couldn't say anything because I just couldn't get it out. It's been a heavy, heavy time, and it just seems like lately, I told God this one day this week. I said, God, I trust you. You know I believe in you. You know I absolutely know that you are God. But man, have I asked you why a whole lot lately. It's just sometimes we get to that place where it just seems so overwhelming and we're not alone. Jesus in Mark chapter 14, we see him there in these moments, and it says that he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. Jesus said, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of what? death. Jesus said, this is so heavy and so hard right now, I feel like it's going to kill me. We can certainly find too much on us than we can handle. Sweating drops of blood, he prays there in this anguished moment of his life. So I want to take today and I want to just spend some time together and help us understand what it means that God will let us have more than we can handle. And when he does, what do we do with it? Why is it? Why does he allow that to happen? And how can you and I let that become something that makes us better rather than bitter? Because a lot of times when we get too heavy, what we do is instead of turning to God, we turn away from him and we try to do it on our own and we get wore out and then we become no good to anybody. So it's about being focused in on what he wants to do in us. So I want to show you two reasons. Here's the question. Why would God allow you to have more than you can handle? Why would he allow you to have more than you can handle? The first one is this, so that you and I will begin to depend on his presence. So that you and I will depend on his presence. He wants to teach us how to do that. You ever notice, I mean, can we just be honest in the room? You ever notice that when things are going really good, it's really easy to forget God, isn't it? I mean, anybody, am I the only one in the room that gets that? Because like when things are really good, it's a whole lot harder to remember to pray, isn't it? When things are really good, it's a whole lot easier to remember that, I probably don't need to go to church this week because everything's good. I probably don't need to pray. I don't need to call on God. I don't need to ask him for anything. I don't need to praise him for anything because everything's just good. We tend to really forget him when things are going smooth. And so we begin to just allow things to slip away from us. But the moment that they begin that tide shifts in our life, guess what? We pray like there's no tomorrow. We show up at church. We begin to call Pastor Ron and like, hey, I need to meet with you. Can we talk? I need some time. We begin to just get focused in on who God is and what he can do when things go bad. What God wants to teach us when he gives us more than we can handle is that we will depend on him whether it's good or whether it's bad. To even let the good times be times that he handles rather than us even dealing with those on our own. He wants us to be focused in on who he is. It's kind of like those moments where I heard the story about a pastor. He got on a plane. He was sitting down beside this lady. And, you know, pastors, when we get on planes or we go places like that, we tend to not tell people what we do, right? We try not to lie, but we try not to also say what we do right up front. Because what happens is, there's one of two things. If you sit down beside them and they say, what do you do? And you say, you're a pastor, they're going to do one of two. They're going to say, Don't tell me about Jesus. I don't want to know. They turn you down really fast before you even get a chance. Or they flip the switch and they become, Joey Jesus. And everything's, like the whole preacher speak starts. And so you kind of deal with that. So you try not to get in there because you want to be able to have a real conversation with somebody, right? So this pastor got on a plane. He sat down beside this lady. And he tried to avoid the question, but it came up. He didn't want to lie, so he said, well, I'm a pastor. She said, listen, I don't want to know about your God. Don't tell me about him. I don't want to know anything about him. Don't you try to convert me, right? He said, no problem. They take off. They get into the flight, and then about an hour in, they hit this incredible turbulence. I mean, one of those turbulence that just, it ain't like it just wiggles your Diet Coke a little bit, but it pretty much, knocks it off in your lap. And so they're in the middle of this, and people are kind of screaming, and it's just kind of really rough. And in these moments, and she begins to talk like she normally talks. And she begins to beep, 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 beep kind of thing, And she begins to just cuss and yell out and all this stuff. And He looks over at her and kind of smiles, and she looks at him. Don't you say anything about God. Beep, 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 you know, kind of thing. And so they go, and it just keeps on. The plane drops, you know, a couple hundred feet at a time, and all this craziness. And so about 20 minutes in, she finally looks over there, and she says, listen, I still don't believe in your bleepity-bleep God, but if you're going to keep sitting over there and pray, you might as well go ahead and pray for me too. See, even when we say we don't believe, when things get tough, we know that there is a reason and there is something we should do. And so many of us are like that. When things get rough, we begin to pray and to focus in on God. But I believe that what God does is to keep us focused on Him is He's going to let things happen in our lives to get our attention and to keep us focused. I don't believe that He causes those things on purpose, but I certainly believe that He doesn't get in the way of them so that you and I will be drawn to who He is and begin to focus on His presence in our lives. Why would God let you and I go through more than we can handle? It's to get our attention onto His presence in our lives. We think about that in the story of Jonah. You know, Jonah was told to go preach to the Ninevites. They said, go preach to those people. He said, no. Not going to happen. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to go speak to those people. I'm not having anything to do with that. And he begins to run from God. Anybody with me? Because I don't know about you, but I've got some Jonah stories in my life. So he runs from God, what God told him to do. And then he finds himself on a ship, gets thrown off, gets swallowed up by a big old fish. And then all of a sudden, guess what? His attitude towards God changes. And we pick it up in Jonah chapter 2, verse 2. It says, in my what?
Distress,
right? In my distress, I called to the Lord and He answered me. Does it say that in my success, I called out to the Lord? Have you really ever read scripture where it says, in my success, I called out to God? No, it's always this, and this is how we live it. So I want to encourage you today that we got to get to a place where it's not distress that drives us to God, but it's just who God is that drives us to Him. He lets you and I experience way more than we can handle so that we are aware of His presence. Verse 7 says, when my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, God. Anybody there? Yeah. When things get bad, it's like, oh yeah. I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you. It's a challenge for some people that it's when they get into the middle of the storm and they start to wonder about God and life isn't going the way it should and begin to wonder why it's happening the way it's happening. You know, sometimes the people say, oh, if God was with me, you know, this wouldn't be happening and all that. And can I just tell you that, man, God don't pack up and change addresses, y'all. It's not Him. It's us. We walk away. But here's the thing about when you're in the middle of these moments, never let the presence of a storm make you doubt the presence of God. Never let the presence of a storm make you doubt the presence of God. Now, can I, for a moment, and yesterday as we had the celebration for Jonathan, we talked about the account where Jesus is in the boat. They go out onto the Sea of Galilee, and this storm comes up, and he's sleeping in the back, and they're freaking out, right? And so he's in the boat with them in the middle of a storm. God, the creator of the universe, his son, him, he's right there in the boat in the middle of the storm. If that can happen to them, let me just tell you that God's with you in your storms as well. And many times it feels like He's not doing anything, but He's there. We just need to be aware of Him there. We need to be aware of Him when the sun's shining so that we'll be aware of Him when the clouds come. We need to acknowledge Him in both situations. He needs to be our everything, whether things are good or bad. Every now and then when the winds blow and the waves crash, and you never let the presence of the storm cause you to doubt the presence of God, because, listen, he doesn't leave you. You don't have to doubt Him in a storm because He's right there. He says he'll never leave you and he'll never forsake you. And those are words that we got to be able to hold on to because he's given us those promises. Why would God allow you and I to experience more than we can handle? Sometimes it's to teach us to depend on him more, to draw us into him. This isn't my distress. I remember the Lord. David said it in Psalm 145, verse 18. Said, the Lord is near to all who call on him. To all who call on him in truth. That means that you call on him because you know who he is. If you know who he is and you call out to him, you need to know that he hears you and he listens. In the account of Jesus on the Sea of Galilee in the storm with the disciples, listen, the winds and the waves were crashing in. Jesus is sleeping, right? So he doesn't hear all the storm going on. It's good. He's good with that. They cry out to him and he wakes up. When you and I call out to him, he hears us. And you need to understand that he does hear your cries. He is there and he allows these things to happen sometimes so that you and I will be drawn to his presence. Sometimes it's just to lure us into calling out his name. Because we already admitted that if we didn't have difficult times, some of us wouldn't call out his name nearly as often. Maybe we need to be able to get much better at that. I'm convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that God allowed me to get to that kind of place while I was in college. He allowed me to get to this place where I knew I could not handle any more on me, and it was totally to draw me to him. There was a series of events, and if I could sit down, I could give you this timeline of these things that happened that I was at a place where I didn't have a relationship with him at all. But he allowed these things to happen, and they all pointed me right to him. And I think about in moments of my life, had those moments not happened, those very specific that I can remember just as clear as day, 30 years later, that had they not happened, where in the world would I be? See, I best experience the presence of God when I have to depend on him. See, there's times where you and I think we can all identify. There's mountaintops, right? You like the mountaintops, don't you? You and I, we like to be on the mountaintop because the view is so much nicer, the air's a lot cleaner, and everything just seems to be so much better looking out on everything from the top. But there are those moments when we find ourselves in those valleys where, let me just tell you that if you try to go down in the valley, if you don't begin to recognize the presence of God there, that it's overwhelming. Things were right in your face. But listen, he's as much with you in the valley as he is on the mountaintop. I would much rather be in the valley with him and his presence than on the top of the mountain without him at all. And you didn't know he goes both places with you. Sometimes he allows us to experience more than we can handle, so we'll depend on his presence in our life. The second reason I think that he allows that to happen is to teach us to experience his power. To experience his presence and depend on his presence, but to experience his power. Not just any kind of power, a supernatural power. Something greater than anything we could ever experience on our own. We try to do so much in our strength, don't we? Like, if you know my testimony, and a big part of my life before coming to Christ was all about strength. Now, I've managed gyms. I'd worked out all these years. It was all about how much I could bench press and squat, and it was all about how strong I was physically. And I thought that equated to how strong I was mentally and emotionally and everything else, that if I could be strong physically and could show off all of those things, then I could accomplish anything that I wanted to accomplish. And man, how wrong I was. Because I was so strong physically and so weak mentally and spiritually, especially. We say, I can do this much more than I can handle. But we hang on to it with our own strength, thinking that we're supposed to do it because that's what we've been told. People have said, God won't give you more than you can handle. So we've made it that I've got to handle it. I've got to do it because people have told me that this isn't more than I can handle on my own. It's just not true, y'all. Quit doing it. Don't say it ever again, okay? Everybody with me? Raise your hand if you'll never say that to anybody again. Good, thank you. Just don't ever let me hear you say it. I'm just telling you. I'll embarrass you. Because it's crazy. God will let us have more than we can handle because we need to depend on His presence and we need to experience His power. Because there's just some things that you and I can't do that only He can do. I don't mean to keep focusing on it, and I hope everybody will forgive me. But I think about my friend Jonathan. I just think about all the things I tried to do and wanted to do for him. I wanted desperately to do it. I wanted to do it for him. I wanted to help him. I just wanted to see it happen. And there's so many other folks that marriages that I wanted their marriage to be better than they wanted their marriage to be better. And I wanted their addiction to be gone more than they wanted their addiction to be gone. And there's so many times that it's like, man, I try and I wear myself absolutely stinking out. Because even I try to do it in my own strength. But God lets us have those things in our life so that we begin to experience His power and we see Him move. And sometimes when I'm trying to do one thing with my own strength, He does something completely different in His strength that was the way it was supposed to be anyway. And if it had gone the way I wanted, it would have been totally wrong. We need to be able to depend on Him and experience what He has for us and what He can do. Sometimes you face these things in life not because you're bad, not because you're wrong, but simply because God is good and He wants you and I to be better and to know who He is. And without going through the difficulties of life, we would only know Him as the convenience store God. We would never truly know Him as the God who gave everything for us. We would think we could pick and choose. But let me just tell you, God wants us to accept Him all and to fully know who He is in our lives. You were created to need God. Can I just tell you that? See, that's the truth. The truth is that you and I were created to need Him. Not to be weak and not to be, puny little humans, but to be in a relationship with Him. A relationship is about need. It's about us needing each other to complement each other and to give each other what each other needs within it. And our relationship with God is the same. We were created to need Him and to trust Him to be the one who has the great plan that puts it all together. When you recognize that He didn't expect you to handle everything, that's when you experience His power. The moment you just say, you know what, God, I can't do this on my own, that's when you begin to see Him do something great in amongst your situation. That you, God, you're the one who can do this. You're the one that can show me why I'm going through this moment. God, you're the one who can make this all make sense somehow. And listen, He may not give you that answer today, may not give it to you tomorrow, may not give it to you next year even. But at some point, I promise that His power and His presence are going to help you understand that when you depend on Him, that it will all come together and it will make sense. We just have to trust Him in the middle of it. Think about in Corinthians when Paul talks about the thorn in his flesh. He talks about how it was this thing there, and theologians debate what it was. Was it his eyesight was bad and so that was constantly there? Was it this sin that he had in his life? Was it, we kind of go back and forth, and I don't know the answer to that. You know, I think it's kind of, if however it's metaphorically, just whatever it is. You know, it is what it is, and we can look at it however, but we understand there was something in his life that continually plagued him. Sometimes I think it could be his mother-in-law. But anyway, that was all. I'm joking. Gosh, I had a, kind of had a, that just came out, didn't it? Anyway, I didn't mean that personal. So mine's in the room, so I better be careful. She might throw something at me. Anyway, so. All right. I did. Anyway. So sometimes he had this thing and he cried out like three times over it. Okay? And we think, oh, well, that means he, because here's what we do. We pray three times and we think God ought to fix it. Right? And so we read that and we say, oh, well, Paul must have prayed three times and God didn't fix it and, you know, whatever. But no, that's not what it was, because I believe it was these periods of time where he constantly just focused in on just crying to God and fasting and just, you know, wanting God to move in this moment. That he pleaded with God and God didn't take it away. It was this ongoing process. I think it's like many of us, like maybe someone that we know that's been battling addiction that's gone on for years and years. Maybe it's somebody who's gone through relationship issues, and we've prayed for marriages to be better and to get better, and we've prayed. Not just once or twice or three times, but we've had periods of prayer for months and years. We've fasted, wanting to see God move in these moments. And so we've got people praying for us, and you know, every prayer chain we can get on it, and we're wanting to see God move this thing. That's what Paul was doing. And I think many times we become like that. We're trying to get God to move, and it's because it's in those moments then when we begin to trust him and we begin to see him. It's not that he will do what we ask him to do, but he will take whatever it is and begin to show us how he wants us to be better from it. I mean, I'm thinking with Paul, like Paul, if there was ever a candidate that was going to be healed of something, this is the guy, right? But he didn't do it. But I believe that Paul now knows why he experienced what he was experiencing. And God used whatever that was to drive him more to the presence of God and to see God's power move even greater in other areas. Why would God allow us to have more than we can handle? I mean, why didn't he just do whatever we asked him to do? And God spoke to Paul in all of this and said something so powerful, and it ministers to me, and I hope it does to you on a very deep level. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, this is what, as Paul cries out, this is what God says. He says, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. That God's power is perfect when we recognize the weakness. And then he goes on, he says, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight. This sounds like crazy talk to me, but here's where he's at. I delight in weaknesses and insults and hardships and persecutions and difficulties. Anybody in here praising God for the difficulties? Anybody glad that you're getting insulted? Somebody insulted me. I was driving the other day. I got lost in Charlotte. They told me I was number one when I cut in front of them. I said, thank you. I believe that too. You can tell me I can go there, but I done fixed it. I ain't going, bro. Anyway. But, you know, it's like we think we've, you know, get insulted. We get weak. We get persecuted and things go terrible. And what do? We just let it beat us up sometimes. We don't delight in it, but Paul says, listen, I delight in it for Christ's sake. Because God's grace is sufficient for me and his power is in my weakness. And so I'm going to delight when my weaknesses are glaring and things aren't going the way that I want them to go and when things aren't going the way that I understand they should go. And here's why. Here's why. He says, for when I am weak, then I am strong. If God's strength is in my weaknesses, then when I recognize my weaknesses, then guess what? His strength is in me, and now it is more than I can handle, but it ain't more than he can handle. There will never be more on you, let me just tell you. There will never be more on you than God can handle. You don't ever have to wonder. He created it all, and he is more powerful than it all. And in our weaknesses, see, can I just tell you, I think one of the main reasons people have a hard time accepting God is because they have a hard time accepting that they're weak. Because they hear that they're supposed to be able to handle it all. They're smart enough to figure out a lot of stuff. And because they're smart enough to figure out a lot of stuff, they think they're smart enough to figure out that they don't really need God. But the truth is that it's not about being smart enough to figure it out, because there are some things you can't figure out on your own. You can't figure out how to determine where you go when you take your last breath. The Bible tells us and teaches there's one of two places. There's a place called heaven, and that's, you know, we make heaven all fluffy and all that, and I don't know what it is. It may be fluffy and gold and I all the things that we know, but all I know about heaven is, Pastor Eddie and I were talking about this morning, all I know about heaven is it's where God is. And that means I'm in his presence. Can I just tell you, it'll be awesome. I mean, I want the streets to be gold, but I hope the handrails are made out of Reese's, okay? I'm just saying. And so I'll go with what the Bible's told me, that the streets are gold. I don't mean this blasphemous or anything. I don't really care. They could be muddy and nasty, as long as Jesus is there when I get there. Okay, and so there is a place called heaven where God is present, and we are there with him when we exit this body. And then there's a place called hell. And I don't know, we hear descriptions of that, and it's, you know, this fiery place and the little guy with the pitchfork and the horns and the little pointy tail, all that stuff. All I know is that God isn't there. And so the Bible says there's one of two places that we go, where God is or where God isn't, for eternity. And we're not smart enough to figure that out on our own. Jesus came and he died on the cross and paid the price for our sin so that you and I could know that we could trust him, to believe that if he did that for you and for me, that if I trust him, that I will be in his presence for eternity. If I don't trust that, I will not be in his presence for eternity. That's as smart as you and I got to be. And I'm so thankful. So thankful that he did that for you and for me, and I don't have to try to be so smart, because when I'm weak, then I'm strong. When I realize that I can't do it on my own, that I can trust God to do it, then I am strong. Paul says, I delight in the hard stuff because when I don't have what it takes, I can tap into the power that goes beyond my human ability to understand, and I have a supernatural, powerful God who loves me and cares about me and wants the absolute best for me, that created me for more than what I could ever imagine and wants to use me in ways that I can't even think of myself. Romans 8:26 says this, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. When you and I recognize that we're weak, that we can't do it on our own, then we can trust in the Holy Spirit moving in us to use us. Listen, can I just tell you that some of you are, and if you, all of us can be, but some of you are just tools of the Spirit, right? Whenever somebody else is going through something difficult, you can be used by the Spirit to encourage them and strengthen them in ways that you'd never imagine you could do that on your own. Kelly gets on to me sometimes, you know, because I get really beat up sometimes by myself that I didn't do enough. I needed to do more. I need to do this. I need to do that. I got to do this. And I really will run myself into the ground with that. And Kelly says, you know, Ron, you just need to know that just you acknowledging it is enough for some people. You don't have to be there. They need to know that you are aware and that you do care. But they don't need you to be there all the time. You don't have to do all that you do. So God uses her in my weakness of thinking I have to do it all to strengthen me. So listen, don't discount what the smallest thing, the little phone call, the little text message, the little whatever, you know. Man, it drives me nuts sometimes, but just instead of giving a thumbs up on Facebook, give them a little heart, you know what I mean? Just say you love it instead of like it. Because you know we all look, and if they like it, they ought to love that. Come on, you know you've done it. Because sometimes we just need to know that we're loved. If you're in this room and you don't ever want to be loved, let me tell you, there's something disconnected that needs to be plugged back in you. We all need love. We all need love, and we all need, you know, to be loved and to give love. We were created for that. So I want to encourage you today, just know that in your weakness there is strength. The Bible says this. See, in Romans he says, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness. And then he went on in verse 28 and he says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. That scripture used to drive me nuts. Because I would think, how in the world can this be done for something good? And then people would always take something really negative, like they'd make a really dumb choice, right? And then they'd say, yeah, but God works all things for the good of those who love him. I don't know that it works like that, right? Just because you make a dumb choice doesn't mean God's going to do something good with it. He can, right? Because sometimes consequences are consequences. Okay, can we just be honest about that? But I do think that he takes difficult situations and he works them for the good of those who love him and trust him and depend on him for the strength in it instead of trying to fix it themselves. He loves you and he loves me. And so today, maybe you're here and you're in the middle of a storm and things are just difficult. Can I just tell you that God may just be trying to remind you to depend on his presence, to acknowledge him as the one who can get you through it. And he may want you to experience his power, that understand that you don't have it in you to make it better, but he does. And so I don't know what that looks like for you. It may be a financial issue. It may be a relationship issue. Maybe your job is like one of those things where you just don't know what's next and you're trying everything you know to make it work. Maybe it's your kids and you don't know, you know, you want to choke them, but you know that's against the law, and so you're trying to love them. I don't know what it is for you, and you don't know what it is for me, but can I just tell you that the answer is the same? It's to depend on him. Acknowledge that you're weak. Cry out to the God who created you and made you and has got a plan for you, and let him be the one who then shows you that he is there and that he cares and that he's got the power to do whatever it is that you and I need done. Don't let anybody ever tell you that God won't give you more than you can handle. He absolutely will. But he will be there. to have your back and to pick up your slack. And I'm a poet and I don't know it. What's God want to do in your life today? What have you been trying to carry yourself? What have you been trying to do that you can't do, but God can? God, today I pray that you would speak clearly to some hearts in this room. God, can I just speak to the men in the room today? God, I know what it's like to be the man of the house, to be the man who's supposed to have all the answers and to have all the things and be able to do all the providing and be able to do all the strong parts of everything. God, would you just speak to the hearts of the men in this room that feel like it's all on them? God, that let them know it's okay to admit that they don't have it all. That they can't make enough money to do everything that their family wants. That they can't snap their fingers and put some wood glue on everything and make it better. That they can't put a couple screws in it and it'll be better. The God that they've got to acknowledge that you're the one who brings power and presence to everything that we are and do. And that God, that it's okay to depend on you. It's okay to say, I don't have it all together. God, for the ladies in the room that have had to take on both roles of mom and dad, and that burden feels so overwhelming, God, would you let them know it's okay to cry out that they can't handle it? That God, that you can. God, for those of us in the room that tried to fix everything ourselves, God, would you remind us that we can't? But God, that we certainly can trust you because you can. That we can let go of whatever it is that we're trying to hold on to so tightly and let you be God in the middle of it. God, if one thing's come out of this week for me, it's that very lesson. I have to trust you. God, even when I can't see beyond my own hands, God, you've got it all worked out. So God, I don't know what you want to do in our lives today, but for some reason, God, I feel like this message today, it's one of those turning points. That if we can just get this and let go and realize that we can't do it, but you can, God, we would see you do things beyond our imagination. So God, I pray for your freedom in lives today. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.